when you say Jewish media, there's a echo of a pain that people feel that reminds
you're saying it's redundant, right?
Huh. No, I'm not saying it's redundant. I'm saying
it's redundant.
You're saying it's redundant.
It's a redundant
thing. I'm saying
thing.
It's something
it's
that jo- I'm saying that it's something that Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister of Nazi Germany, said. I'm saying it's been said so many times in order to murder and torture Jewish people that it just rings wrong.
And that's the thing.
Like the N-word when spoken by people that have the same skin color as me, it reminds people of a very dark time.
MIT professor and podcast host Lex Fridman in conversation with Ye, formerly known as Kanye West. In that interview that came out yesterday, Fridman pushed back on the rapper's repeated anti-Semitic rhetoric. For weeks now, he has been spouting conspiracy theories and hateful rants about Jewish people. Brands like Gap, Balenciaga, and the talent agency CAA have all cut ties with him. And today, Adidas did the same thing. But Ye's rants have already inspired other acts of anti-Semitic behavior. A local hate group hung banners off the 405 freeway last weekend praising his comments, and anti-Semitic flyers have been found in Beverly Hills and some other West Side neighborhoods. Nationwide, anti-Semitic incidents hit a record high last year, with more than 2,700 cases of assault, harassment, and vandalism. Here to talk about all this is Rabbi Steve Leder, senior rabbi of Wilshire Boulevard Temple here in Los Angeles. Welcome back to Press Play.
Thank you, Madeline. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, great to have you back to discuss this. And I just want to get your reaction to what happened here in Los Angeles over the weekend with those banners over the 405 and those flyers, those anti-Semitic flyers. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I can tell you quite literally what my reaction was, because I was on the 405 heading to a wedding and drove underneath those banners. Okay. And my first initial reaction was shock and disbelief, then intense anger. And in a way, I'm glad that I was on my way to the wedding and not on my way home, because I really think I would have gotten off the freeway and gone up there and said something and maybe gotten myself into a bad situation. But after it kind of settled a little and I thought about it, the first thing that came to my mind was that everyone up there was masked, which to me is a cowardly thing. If this is what you really believe, show your face. Stand up. Let's have a conversation about it. If you're really interested in a better world, take your mask off. Let's sit down. Let's get to know each other and let's talk. And so I don't believe the motivation of haters is ever pure, is ever productive. And this is yet another example.
And so a lot of people are scratching their heads about Ye, Kanye West, his latest rants against Jewish people, why he's doing this. He has struggled with mental health issues, of course. But how pernicious do you think it is that he is repeatedly issuing these comments? At the same time, these brands that he works with are pushing back and cutting ties with him.
Well, as is so often the case, haters who intend to drive us further apart from each other end up uniting us. I'm seeing that now. I have seen Ye's comments galvanize a community of people who believe in goodness and hope and love and understanding in a way they were not galvanized before. Mm-hmm. He's gotten a lot of us up off the couch. He has moved many of us past our apathy or desire to be spectators. And in that sense, I think the result has been ultimately one that is hopeful and makes the opportunity for us to really see each other and talk about differences in a meaningful way. He has taught us a great deal by negative example. Now, what I think the mission is to move him out of the spotlight, to stop talking about Kanye, and to stop talking about a handful of people hanging a banner off a freeway, and start really talking to each other about how we double down on the importance of empathy and real conversation Because without empathy and humility, we're lost.
And the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, is saying that anti-Semitic incidents reached an all-time high in this country last year, the most on record since they began tracking in 1979, for an average of 7 incidents per day. That's pretty extraordinary. It's not just Kanye. It's a lot of people.
It's not. And we all know that social media is an accelerant.
Right.
In both directions, good and bad, good and evil. It's an accelerant. It doesn't take much to get 7 incidents of anything on social media, and allows us to remove ourselves from each other, to forget our common humanity, to forget that if you prick us, we all bleed. And am I alarmed? Yes. What can we do? We double down, each of us, on what we can. You know, I was asked by someone, an actress, a few weeks ago. She said, what can I do? I feel so overwhelmed by all of this. And she's a very proud young Jewish woman. And she said, I don't know what to do. And what I said to her, interestingly enough, was a Buddhist saying that I say a lot, which I lean on quite a bit, which is, I said to her, just tend the part of the garden you can reach. Mm-hmm. We all have a sphere of influence, all of us. It may be around our dinner table with our family. It may be in the classroom. It may be in the workplace. It may be on the softball team. It may be on our social media platform. We all have a part of the garden that we can reach, that we can tend. And our job is to tend the part of the garden we can reach and root out hate speech and root out ancient evil tropes. We all have a light of goodness and love that we can shine. Shine your light in whatever darkness you can. And that's a lot.
And how do you counter the feeling among Jews of, oh, here we go again. This has been happening since time immemorial, anti-Semitism in
yes.
times of strife.
Yes.
I've seen it before.
Yeah. The ennui of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the oldest of stories. And,
it is.
And in a way it is. However, I do believe that America offers all people, not just Jews, all people, a different kind of opportunity. You know, I collect old sermons. It's like my geeky habit. I collect books of old sermons, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I read a sermon the other day that was given in 1941 at a high school graduation at a completely white Christian school in Minnesota by the chief rabbi at the time in Minneapolis. And he was speaking to a group of kids who were about to graduate high school, most of whom that were male were going to be marching off to war to fight Nazis very soon. He said, let's think about what makes America great, what makes America beautiful, really. And he riffed on the song America the Beautiful, and he said, many countries have more impressive purple mountains of majesty. More countries, including Ukraine at the time, which was part of the Soviet Union, have more impressive amber waves of grain. That can't be it. That's not the differentiator. What is the differentiator that makes America beautiful? It's when we crown our good with brotherhood. And of course, today we would say sisterhood, from sea to shining sea. That is the gift of America. And that is a precious gift. And therefore, fighting back against any kind of anti-Semitism, any kind of racism, any kind of sexism, you name it, all the isms, is what makes America beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, as always, with your words of comfort and wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, Madeline.
Rabbi Steve Leder, senior rabbi at Wilshire Boulevard Temple here in LA. His latest book is called For You When I'm Gone, 12 Essential Questions to Tell a Life Story. Coming up, the author of Dope Sick, Beth Macy, is back with a new book. It's called Raising Lazarus, about the people who are trying to do something to help people addicted to opioids. I'll speak with her next on Press Play.